And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. And it is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of the Holy Land of Israel. Today is February 3rd, 2016. And this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to dedicate this Wednesday show with Italian music to all the person that got killed in the last few months of the terror attack in Israel. I didn't want to make such a big, incredible show every time on every single attack that those terrorists did, to not give them a stage, to not recognize what they did. But now, looking back in the last few months, and actually the last years, and I'm telling you guys, we all fed up. We all fed up with the terrorists. We're fed up with the people that facilitate that, with the country that send them, and with the money that been transferred to them, and with all those goody two-shoes, the shoes that tell us all, keep at bay and don't mix, business with pleasure. Don't make this terrorist attack something that will create an unreversible life. Well, let me tell you this morning, America, and let me tell you this evening, Middle East, we are so fed up with you all, with all those European nations that call upon Israel to talk to the Palestinian people when they, actually those Palestinians, are sending people to die in their name and to kill Jewish lives. We really don't care about your mission in life. We don't really care or give a hoot about the state you never had. We really don't want to give you anything because you guys do not deserve anybody's land, especially not the Holy Land. How dare you guys talk about you guys will blood sheds on the Holy Land, the soil of the Holy Land where God gave the world a space in the universe to come and worship, and you guys decided it's only your way or the highway. Well, excuse me for living, but it's not going to be in this stage. It's not going to happen. Too bad. And too bad you all fighting, because that's the end of the game. At the end of the day, you are not playing it right, because your mission in life is to die. Well, be my guest. It's your life. I'm not going to fight, but I'm going to help every living soul protect themselves from this terrorist attack on the universe. And I don't know what the leader of the free world in America is doing. He's doing his best. Today he's visiting a mosque from all places. He's going to the midst of the lions, call them lions. In the midst, and everybody's asking, why the president is going to the Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood mosque from all places? Well, to talk census to them. What do you think? Is going to the good places? This is working hard. So I'm telling you all, this is not the day to mess with Israel today. It's not the day to ask anybody for understanding. Because while today I was working hard to create some understanding, to help bring attention in the last few months, actually years. Let's talk about the situation in Syria to get some attention, to help the refugees. Those Muslims that want us all dead, helping the children, calling everybody, sending mails, help them. And you guys are stubbing a little girl, stubborn girl, all your clown are doing, attacking women. That's how manhood is celebrated, by killing women. Tonight, a few hours back, somebody attacked a girl that was, two girls that were in uniform of the police, the military police. They were on the cast between the Jewish section and the Arab section in the holy city of Jerusalem, the city they want to worship God with. Which God you worshiping, you goons? We are the daughters of Israel. We believe in God Almighty, and He is not going to rest with this city being torpedoed by you. I think that you guys have to call all your dogs back, because it's going to be all out. And I'm telling you, the way I feel, I've been quiet. I've been quiet for a long time on this issue. I didn't want to attack. I wanted comprehensive understanding. Of course, you guys deserve nothing. You don't deserve nothing. You go teach your children some lesson. Then we'll talk. It's Wednesday, guys. It's Wednesday, and we have Italian music. But also to my Italian friends that listen there. We know that there are children missing, and 10,000 of those refugees that are still talking about them, but those are children, and they're godchildren. They don't belong to you guys. They belong to God. 5,000 of them disappear in Italy. I don't know what sex slave you want to make them, but we want them back. We, the world, want those children back. 10,000 children want to be your slaves. 10,000 children deserve a life. You guys in Italy, I don't know where they got shipped. I don't know where you sent them or you sold them. You better give them up. And I'm telling you that as a mommy, because once the mommy will reunite all of us together to stop those craziness. And, you know, we are the majority, but we make the majority numbers. So Italy, I'm calling you up to come back, help us find those children. So let's start with some music before we start the incredible news that you create in this world.
Siamo stati sempre amici e basta. Ma morivo quando mi guardavi, ma tu, ma tu, ma tu, non lo vedevi. Sempre giochi con il mondo attorno, ed eri sempre in cima ai miei pensieri, ma tu, ma tu.
All right, that was some of our Italian music today. You know, for a child to get out of the house in the morning, putting the uniform that, you know, they put so well and so sweet, and to go and face actual terrorists. But those terrorists of today are something that are a new prototype. Why I'm mad? No, I'm not mad. Why I'm in that stage where I know something is going to happen? It's because they broke the rules. They came out completely out. And please, Ban Ki-moon, you know, why don't you, you know, the chairman of the United Nations, why don't you just go away? Forget it. Forget it. It was too much for you. You did your share, but you are endorsing them. It's such an incredible notion. Now, those terrorists today, they came with guns, with bombs, with knives, and violently attack two girls. Wow. You need the army for the Israeli girls. Well, sure enough, but one of them got a life of Adar Cohen. God bless her soul. So what are we going to do here? We're going to listen to one segment of another terrorist attack, but it's something that maybe will let you understand it. I'm trying to be a generic, not that particular about this issue, but in general. Let's listen.
This week on Jerusalem Dateline, a wave of terror hits Jerusalem and spreads throughout Israel. From a bus attack to a bus stop, to random attacks and from kids as young as 13, we'll bring you reports on what's behind the violence. Plus, World Jewish Congress President Ron Lauder talks with CBN founder Pat Robertson about the situation. And Christmas in October, a Christian choir brings some joy to the city in the midst of all the terror. Hello and welcome to this edition of Jerusalem Dateline. I'm Chris Mitchell. It's been a deadly time here in Jerusalem and throughout Israel as a wave of Palestinian terror attacks have spread throughout the land. Palestinian Arabs committed at least three more terror attacks, two in Jerusalem and another in central Israel.
What took place here in Amman Netziv in a relatively quiet neighborhood, two terrorists carried out an attack on a bus. One of them was armed with a pistol, the second one with a knife. They injured five Israelis. What we confirmed is that our police units that arrived at the scene shot and killed one of the terrorists. The second terrorist was apprehended.
Aaron Adler arrived on the scene as one of the first responders.
When I arrived on scene, there was actually still shooting on the scene. We found the bus here behind us with multiple gunshot wound victims inside the bus. Together with other crews, we pulled them out and started life-saving treatments, whatever we could do to try saving their lives.
Jerusalem's mayor, Nir Barkat, blames Palestinian incitement. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas began the incitement last month when he said the Al-Aqsa Mosque was in danger and that the Israeli government was changing the status quo on the Temple Mount.
Which is not true, which is a lie. It's just a filthy lie. However, the residents, some of the residents believe those lies. And those incitements are sending people to kill innocent people. We've just seen in the last few days children, high school children that are incited, that go and try and terrorize and kill policemen. They don't return home. They themselves get killed. The incitement kills on both sides.
Some Israelis are concerned they're on the verge of a third Palestinian intifada, a word that means uprising. The first took place in the late 80s and early 90s, and the second took place from 2000 to 2004. The latest wave of violence has shaken Israelis.
We are terrified, and the world thinks that we are not justice with the Arabs. This is not true. They have ID like I do, and they kill us.
It's hard. It's it's not a good situation, but we do what we can. We believe in what we do, and we know that we know the purpose behind it. We understand the calling.
Jerusalem's mayor said this wave of violence is a wake-up call for the nations.
Now, the experience we're going through here in our city will haunt the rest of the world in a few years from now. You have to understand that terrorism, this kind of terrorism, is not just a Jerusalem problem. It's not just an Israeli problem. It's an international problem. And if you don't understand and support us in fighting terrorism here, next phase will happen everywhere else in the world.
It's hard sometimes for Israelis to walk down the street or wait at a bus stop without fearing a Palestinian terror attack. Here's the latest on the situation.
A Palestinian posing as a photojournalist, wearing a safety vest and carrying equipment, stabbed an Israeli soldier. He was shot and killed. The incident was caught live by a Hamas TV crew. Ahead of the Day of Rage, rioting Palestinians burned the tomb of the biblical patriarch Joseph in Nablus. In a surprise move, Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas condemned the arson attack. Foreign Ministry Director General Dori Gold said it was similar to the actions of extremist Muslim groups from Afghanistan to Libya. Days of Rage usually include Palestinian rioting and confrontation with Israeli troops at flashpoints in Judea and Samaria or the West Bank. But this one comes during a spate of terror that Israel hasn't seen for a long time. Prime Minister Netanyahu told journalists that incitement is behind the current wave of terrorism and violence.
First on the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the outrageous claims that we are changing the status quo there or intend to destroy it. And now we have a new big lie. That new big lie is that Israel is executing Palestinians.
Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas accused Israel of executing what he called an innocent Palestinian boy. That boy stabbed an Israeli boy his own age earlier this week.
First of all, he's not dead. He's alive. This Palestinian terrorist is now being treated in Hadassah Hospital in Israel.
As for Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount, Israel says, as always, only Muslims are allowed to pray there. Christians and Jews have limited access and no prayer allowed. Netanyahu said the trouble doesn't have anything to do with whether or not there are peace talks.
They're attacking us not because they want peace or don't want peace, it's because they don't want us here.
Tension in Israel is palpable. Many Israelis are staying away from public places. Others aren't giving in.
I've never seen a time like this before in my entire life. I've heard about it when I was a kid, about the Second Intifada, but I never felt this way.
You know, when I see something on Facebook, it hurts inside to see it. And, you know, I feel bad, and I hope that anyone who gets injured is healed fast.
Yeah, it is sometimes it's scary to walk around. But it's not that scary because I know I believe in God and I know he's going to help us.
Julie Stahl, CBN News, Jerusalem.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says he's heading to the region to mitigate the wave of Palestinian terror and Israeli countermeasures that are sweeping the area. Meanwhile, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is increasing his incitement against the Jewish state.
Israel says decades of incitement against Jews in Israel are behind Palestinian rage that's fueling the current wave of terrorism.
Security here in Jerusalem is extremely tight. The government deployed more Israeli border police along with Jerusalem police to block entrances to Jerusalem's Arab neighborhoods like this one called Jabu Mokaber, where a number of the attackers came from.
We hear again and again the slogan, Itbach el Yehud, kill the Jews, knife the Jews, death to the Jews. In the name of Allah, in the name of defending Islam, in the name of defending the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
In a televised speech on Wednesday, Abbas accused Israel of increasing what he called its aggressive offensive against Palestinians and holy sites.
What sends young people out with butcher knives to attack Israelis, this phenomenon is that it emanates from incitement, and particularly religious incitement. Incitement around the false accusation that Israel seeks to change the status quo on the Temple Mount.
Israel was hoping Abbas would use his speech to calm the situation, but instead he didn't condemn the current wave of terror, nor call for a halt to attacks. He charged Israel with what he called field executions and said two teens who carried out a stabbing attack of an Israeli teenager early this week were martyrs. Their parents said they went to buy candy, but this security camera footage clearly shows the boys brandishing knives. One of the teens was killed as he tried to attack a policeman, but the other is alive and receiving treatment in an Israeli hospital, yet Abbas said he was dead. Foreign Minister Director General Dori Gold pointed out that Abbas has been stoking the fire.
No less than Mahmoud Abbas made the famous comment on September 16th, of this year, we welcome every drop of blood spilled in Jerusalem. They, Israelis, have no right to desecrate the Al-Aqsa Mosque with their filthy feet. What is this?
Social media is also helping to spread incitement and lies to the younger generation like this Hamas video that shows how to stab a Jew. On Wednesday, a Palestinian tried to stab a police officer at the Damascus Gate of the Old City. A television crew caught his attempted escape on film as he was shot and killed by security forces. A short time later, another terrorist stabbed a woman in her 70s at Jerusalem Central bus station. She managed to board the bus. The terrorist was shot and killed. Israelis are bracing themselves for Friday when Palestinians have called for another day of rage. And for now, the terror shows no signs of abating. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, near Jabu Mokaber, Jerusalem.
Coming up, World Jewish Congress President Ron Lauder talks with CBN founder Pat Robertson about the situation. Welcome back to Jerusalem Dateline. World Jewish Congress President Ron Lauder called on Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to quench the violence. He talked with CBN founder Pat Robertson about the situation.
Are we seeing the beginning of a third intifada over there in Israel?
I hope not. We should do everything we can to stop this. The question is, has the intifada ever stopped? Mm. But I don't believe this is the beginning of it. This could be, but I don't believe it will happen. And the fact is, we must do everything we can now, both Israel, Palestinians, and the world, for example, to stop this and to say we must do everything we can for a two-state solution.
Well, Mahmoud Abbas's call for the shedding of Israeli blood and the, quote, the filthy feet of Jews can't be any longer on the Temple Mount. I mean, he's not exactly trying to make peace, is he?
I've spoken with him, and he told me he believes in a two-state solution. And then he says something like this. It's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. And we must do everything we can. He must stand up and say to his people, enough is enough, please. We need peace and we need a future. And for him to give a speech at the UN talking about the Oslo Accords and saying that they're no longer valid is, again, counterproductive. The fact is that the Palestinians must understand that the future, their future, depends on this two-state solution, and everything that's being done is against it.
Well, I understand that the Israelis, Bibi Netanyahu and others, have offered to them concessions, extraordinary concessions, but based on some kind of a bilateral treaty, now they have gone directly to the UN to say you must force a solution on Israel whether they like it or not. Now, is that going to go down well with the Israeli people?
Look, the Israeli people want a two-state solution, but as time goes on, they believe more and more that it will not be possible. Now, what's happening also is that very often what is being attacked of on the behalf of the Jewish people is also an attack on the Christian people, mm-hmm. because they're really talking about the fact of who belongs there. This is a Jewish, Christian, Muslim place, as well as must be all three. We must all live together. That is the critical question. And the leaders have to be able to do it, particularly the Palestinians. They must be able to say, enough's enough. And when children go out and kill because they want to be martyrs, mm-hmm. what does that say? And when Abbas gives a speech about one child being killed, executed, and then it turns out the child is in a hospital, an Israeli hospital being treated, what does that say? We must do what we can. But also, I was watching MSNBC this morning, and it says, Jewish extremists cause problems. And you read in certain papers, two Palestinian youths killed. They don't say that these are terrorists who stabbed somebody 15 times. Mm. And the fact is, we must understand that this is a question of people being incited to create violence.
You know, I met several times with Yasser Arafat, and Arafat didn't want peace. He got money from the other Arabs by causing trouble, and the original intifada was his deal. I mean, he had everything that was, every concession Israel could possibly give him. And he still wanted to fight. And I wonder if the leaders feel the same way as he did.
Well, I must tell you, I've never met with Arafat, but I have met with Abu Mazen. And I will say to you that he's told me he wants peace, he wants a two-state solution, and he would like to find a way to do it. Mm-hmm. The question is, sometimes there are outside forces that push him to go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. The real aspect is, if he was able to stand up and say, I want peace, I want to be able to find a way with Israel, it would change dramatically the whole scene. But when he gives a speech at the UN talking about getting rid of the Oslo agreements and changing things, it doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Pat, can I say one more thing?
Yes.
I've been fighting strongly about talking about what's happening to Christians in the Middle East. They're being killed. They're being pushed out of their homes. Mm-hmm. And we hear nothing about it. And I ask you again, why are we hearing nothing about the killing of Christians all over and destroying of all Christianity outside the Middle East? And the fact is, we Jews have learned what happens when the world is silent. Well, and this is what's happened.
Well, I think there are not many people who are aware or really concerned. You look at a city like Mosul, this is 100% Christian, and suddenly there are no Christians left. I mean, it's like the Muslims want to eradicate. It's genocide and a major issue going on, and the world is silent. And they're the voices like mine, but I'm just one of a few that are standing up for the rights of the Jewish people and the rights of Christians. But I think we need to stand together in this, and I'm glad we are.
That's the key thing. We need to stand together, and we need to speak out. Silence and indifference are the greatest enemies of both the Jewish and the Christian values, and we must speak out. And I thank you very much for the words you've said in the past.
Well, thank you.
On behalf of the Jewish people, we thank you.
Well, together we're friends, and I'm glad we're going to stand against oppression, whatever comes. And thank you for being with us, Ron Lauder.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
Israel's cabinet met in an emergency session to decide what to do about the wave of Palestinian terrorism. But Palestinian social media is portraying Israelis as the aggressors. Some say it's a predictable campaign of disinformation. Be warned, the video in the story is graphic. This is what a terror attack looks like, and what Israelis have been facing for weeks. This Palestinian man rammed his car into a bus stop. He got out and hacked 60-year-old Rabbi Krishevsky to death. He then began attacking 78-year-old Haviv Hamim with a meat cleaver. Finally, a nearby security guard stopped him. Despite clear evidence and security camera footage of many of these attacks, Palestinian social media is accusing Israeli police of executing the attackers. Palestinian negotiator Saeb Erekat is also calling on the International Criminal Court to investigate Israel. A case in point, Israeli police confront this Palestinian woman brandishing a knife. When she refuses to surrender the knife, they shoot her in the legs. Yet this picture implies Israeli police shot her for no reason. This picture and others fail to show the attacks themselves, just the aftermath. Michael Widlansky, author of Battle for Our Minds, says disinformation is an old trick.
Mahmoud Abbas studied disinformation techniques when he was a student in the Soviet Union at the Patrice Lumumba University of the KGB. He studied this, and it is always to invent an atrocity story. You send out somebody to kill a Jew. He kills a Jew, or three Jews, or five Jews, and then he gets killed. And then you claim he was murdered by the Israeli police. It's a bunch of baloney.
What's driving many of these Palestinians to kill is they say they must protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount.
But one thing you should know about the Palestinian Arab leadership, they use the same formula every time. When they get into trouble, they say the Jews are coming to attack us. They're coming to attack the Temple Mount. That's what they did in 1921, 1922, 1929. What Arafat did in 2000, Mahmoud Abbas did the same thing this year. They even use the same term, يَحَجِمُوا الْأَقْصَى. They're attacking Al-Aqsa.
In order to protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque, this imam in Gaza calls on West Bank Palestinians to impose what he calls a curfew of stabbing to keep Israelis terrorized so they'll stay inside. Jerusalem Mayor Nir Barkat says it's this kind of incitement that kills.
Those incitements are sending people to kill innocent people. We've just seen in the last few days children, high school children, that are incited, that go and try and terrorize and kill policemen. They don't return home. They themselves get killed. The incitement kills on both sides.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Watch the word.
American Christians bring hope through song in the midst of the storm.
All right, guys, that was incredible, because what this tells you exactly how things are going. They are happening, and then they are creating a fuss over, you know, a dead terrorist when the guy went and killed people. So to stop them, and the people in Europe can see it every day now, they need to stop attackers, and they defend themselves. She's not going to, you know, hold them by the hand and say, excuse me, do you mind stopping that man? They'll, you know, you won't survive it. So you use life and, you know, ammunition. What can you do? And that's the way of affairs are happening all around in Europe. In America, we need to be very careful, because it can get out of hand in a second. And the fact that the president is visiting a mosque today is important. Let's listen to that.
Well, on Wednesday, President Obama is going to make his first visit during his presidency to a suburban Baltimore mosque. The trip raising some eyebrows, considering that mosques apparently has extremist ties to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Wow. Well, joining us now to weigh in is the founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, Dr. Zudi Jasser. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Jasser.
It's good to be with you.
What do you know about this mosque? Ties to terrorism? How?
Well, you know, as American Muslim, I'm just insulted. It's disgraceful that this is one of the mosques, or the mosque, that he's picked to be the first visit. The Islamic Society of Baltimore, first of all, if you go to their website, it's like a covert operation. There's no name on it. It basically has pictures of individuals, but no names. They had an imam, Muhammad al-Sheikh, who was there from 83 to 89, and then another 10 years, was directly came out of the Muslim Brotherhood in Sudan, has had online imam sermons in which he basically excused Palestinian suicide bombing. He then went in to fill in. He was the guy who took over at Dar al-Hijra Mosque in Northern Virginia after Awlaki left. And I'll remind you, Awlaki is the imam that declared war in the United States, yep, radicalized Nidal Hassan and so many other Americans against our country. So this mosque is very concerning. They are very into gender apartheid. The Imam Yassin Sheikh in 2013 has a YouTube sermon from just 2 years ago calling homosexuals basically psychological deviants, a disorder, and basically espousing a very extreme opinion about mm-hmm. homosexuality, which I would think is at divergence from the president's position on that.
Sure. Okay, so that's where he's going. The White House says he's going to meet with Muslim leaders, but you say, you told one of our producers, this is just a political stunt.
It really is. I mean, look at the time he picked to do this. It's right before the National Prayer Breakfast. He's using our Muslim community as a backdrop, partisan politics, to basically check the box that, oh, he's with the Muslim community. Not the normal ones, basically the radical ones, but forget that. He's with the Muslim community, against those bigots, etc., when in fact, the countries he cozies up to, be it Iran or Saudi Arabia, mosques in America that are in bed with governments like Iran, Saudi Arabia, Diobandis of Pakistan, are actually against diversity in our faith. So he insults our community by cozying up to radicals who have extreme views incompatible with America. They believe in the Sharia state. I mean, let's see how this mosque operates. They separate men and women. They're into gender apartheid, anti-homosexual rights. So that's who represents us Muslims, and he's using it as a backdrop to say, oh, the pictures this week of him meeting with Muslims, talking about diversity, talking about equality, will make Republicans look bad. So our Muslim community is all about a backdrop of partisan one-upsmanship rather than real reform that the president should lead domestically and globally.
An exit question, Dr. Jasser. Do you think the president will try to get these Muslim Americans to stand up and speak out against radical Islam and differentiate themselves?
Not only no, but hell no, because he's picking a mosque that ignores our Muslim reform movement, ignores Muslims that want to reform against theocracy, against political Islam. Go to their website. This is a very shell. you know, covered mosque that doesn't want to put forth an ideology of reform. I mean, that's not a place that this is going to happen. And historically, as I mentioned before, they are basically a radical extreme mosque and not representative of the moderate Muslims in America.
Well, he's heading that way on Wednesday. Dr. Jasser, thank you very much for joining us today from Phoenix.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. What do you think about that? Email us, friends at foxnews.com. Meanwhile, how...
All right, we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. It's Wednesday, and the situation is getting a little intense. The fact that a president is going to visit the mosque is probably a courageous move to stand up and to talk in front of those people that actually don't give people the right to leave, about the right to leave. So if there is any shakeup that could be happening, it can happen there. I'm not sure how those people will take it, but you know, it's worth trying. What do you know? And you don't go to preach to the peaceful people. You actually go into those people that need to be preached to. So, God willing. Now it's February, you know, in a few weeks, I guess, that there is a movement. There is something going on in the air, and there are some rallies that are going to happen, and we need everybody to put themselves in a situation of attention, understanding, and on alert. Please, please do not deal with life like business as usual. And I'm telling you from a point of somebody who lived through a few wars. My first war was, you know, that I lived through was when I was 5 years old. I walked to the shelter. So please recognize that I know something about what I'm talking about. Not everything, but I know. Be alert. Check around. You go to a place, make sure you know where you're going. Don't count on anybody, you know, to help you. Just be vigilant, all right? And God bless you all, because we need God's blessing, and we need to pray for some common sense and some true leadership. And talking about leadership, we know that the solution is not getting some president, new president, that will be crazy, screaming, doing everything. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump. He has a good heart. But also Bernie Sanders, he has a good heart too. But we need to really, really to think what is in, you know, in stake here. All right? Now, time is running fast. But it was worth it. It was worth it. Those tips, those, you know, clips that I gave you today tells you about the modus operandi of terrorism. And by all means, you guys have to understand, if anything that I talk about makes sense to you or not, let this one make sense. When you tell me, or you tell anybody in the world, that the Palestinians have the right to exist, there is no question about it. The question is, who are those Palestinians? When you said Palestinian and Hamas is a terror organization, a Palestinian terrorist organization that runs the million-some Palestinian in Gaza, where they have a territory, they have a strip, they have Israel evacuated that area for them to be and create a statehood. When you tell Israel, give Palestinian / Hamas / terrorists any kind of territories, you guys are giving terrorism space. You just have to stop saying that. And anybody who can say that you from the Gaza to the West Bank, you can have the same country, you guys don't know what you're talking about. All right? So this is the situation. And let me give it to you true and clear and simple. You got the territory of Gaza. You got a space. You can create a tourist attraction. You can have a create a non, you know, non-tax zone for the whole Middle East. You can have businesses. You can work today. The Minister of Treasury, Mr. Moshe Kahlon, said today, if in the other side of that boat or whatever, wherever you are in Gaza, we'll have a partner, we'll work together. The Minister of, you know, of Treasury, it means that you guys have the opportunity. Somebody from the government said, we're going to start business with you guys. We're going to help reconstruct the area. That's what he said today. And you guys went and stabbed a little beautiful girl and killed her. Shame on you. I can't get over that. I won't forgive you for a long time. Remember that. Because I'm trying my best, giving sense to everybody and keeping everybody off your back. But you guys are blew it today. So let's go again. You have Gaza Strip. You can create a decent living. You can have tourism. You can have stop with terrorism. Terrorism, it's not an occupation. Doesn't make money. It just kills you, okay? You can create a zone. The Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, it ain't yours. It ain't yours. This is the buffer zone for safety reason for Israel. Get a grab. And those Arabs that are going to live there, keep on living there, they're going to have a work life as usual, but they're not going to be any kind of swapping or things. Stop moving people around. Are we enough? We have 15 million on the go now. You need more? And sure enough, we're not going to let you do it. All right? Gaza, that's a place where you can build a living. Start with that. You give the world 500 years of peace and happiness, trust me, they'll give you everything. They don't care. They just want to have some comprehensive dialogue, work, ethics, et cetera, et cetera. But for that, we need to burn all your books because ethics is not something you're familiar with. All right, guys, let's get some music and we'll be back after that.
Cercami come, quando e dove vuoi. Cercami, è più facile che mai. Cercami, non soltanto nel bisogno. Tu cercami.
All right, that was Renato Zero. Now you guys have to listen to the records, whatever it is, you understand or not. He is a musician and is talented and is one of the Italian classic. Renato Zero, you have to check him out. And he's really theatrical. You know, it's like the David Bowie, God bless his soul, David Bowie of the Italian music. So it's really interesting. Anyway, in Europe, you have one issue before we leave today that I want to mention to you is very important. The United Kingdom is actually asking and wonder if they have to disengage from Europe. Let's listen to this.
It could be David Cameron's most important legacy, a new relationship with the European Union. Referendum is coming, and some continental Europeans are getting decidedly nervous as to what kind of legacy it may be.
I think there's a general recognition that Britain leaving would be a geopolitical catastrophe of the first order for the UK and for the European Union.
We'll hear from former Italian Premier Mario Monti, among others, on how our new government might win friends and influence people in Brussels. Also tonight,
you can see it on Simon Hughes' face. 32 years, the MP.
What's it like to be dumped by the voters after three decades in Parliament? We'll ask Simon Hughes about that and the future of his party. And this.
I've always wondered whether I'd ever get anywhere near 300. Today I've done it, tomorrow I could get maybe four.
we need to talk about Kevin Peterson, ostracized titan or preening ego. We'll ask Simon Hughes. Good evening, or should I say hello, hello, because Europe and our relationship with the rest of it is set to dominate our lives for the next year or two, or two and a half. That's the period within which the government is planning an EU renegotiation and a referendum. The Prime Minister now has a clear mandate for that, and the Europeans know it. So we're devoting the first part of our programme tonight to the great debate. What should we ask for? What will the rest of the EU offer? Let's start with our diplomatic editor, Mark Urban.
Every European nation has its Brussels watering holes. And no surprise, the Café Italiano is where you'll find the best espresso. So now the British referendum is coming. Are people here getting enough froth or writing it off as one more national EU power play?
So I think the best way would be in or out. Because if you start opening the Pandora's box of the EU treaties, that might be a nightmare for both sides.
I don't think it's a bad thing to open negotiations and to keep the EU on their toes on how important Britain is for the EU.
For all its serial awkwardness, Britain still has friends in this city and more widely among national governments. Now, especially in Northern Europe, there's a sense of just how much is at stake.
I think there's a general recognition that Britain leaving would be a geopolitical catastrophe of the first order for the UK and for the European Union. It would change the European Union in a very fundamental way. It would be more difficult for the EU to be a global player. UK will be reduced to sort of a smaller, medium-sized power in the world, and Europe would lose in economic and political and whatever terms.
And today, George Osborne came to a European finance ministers' meeting, keen to ring the changes.
We go into the negotiations aiming to be constructive and engaged, but also resolute and firm, and no one should underestimate our determination to succeed for the working people of Britain, indeed the working people of the whole of the European Union.
Today's pressing question was Greek debt. Tomorrow it'll be Libya. But increasingly, the potentates here are going to be engaging with Britain's agenda of renegotiation. Now, even some who've criticised David Cameron before, like the President of the European Parliament, are keen to emphasise that there could be a way through on issues like immigration.
We have, for the time being, not a free movement of access to the social welfare systems. We have a free movement to look for jobs and employment. And also here, I don't see a big problem. If the government of the United Kingdom wants to discuss about a specific...
All right, and we are back because we are running out of time. That was the situation in they're dealing with it with this today in Britain about the deals that they have to cut with the European Union in order for them to keep on being there. I hope that they decide to the best of their knowledge and abilities, and God bless them. All right, so let's recognize today is an important day. It's something that shook the base of my understanding, and the fight for peace is everlasting. So keep up the spirit, pray for God to help, and do your best, all right? So from here in the Holy Land, God bless you all. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio. Thank you all for listening. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.